Well, thank you again, Brother Jimmy. Word or testimony, anything on anyone's heart before we go any further in the service today? If not, you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us. We're going to be in Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 today, and probably or very possibly for maybe a few Sundays in Titus chapter 2. Yesterday I was mowing the lawn, and as I was mowing the lawn, I began to pray and ask the Lord what happened throughout the week on what I would need to preach on today. Of course, having to preach tonight and preach this morning, sometimes the Lord gives me a couple of different topics, and then I have to discern what do you want me to preach at which place. In fact, what I'm supposed to preach tonight, I've known what I'm supposed to preach on that since the beginning of the week, and I kept saying, well, do you want me to preach that at Faith, or do you want me to wait until I go to the revival tonight? And so while mowing yesterday, the Lord gave me clarity on what I needed to preach on. And the only thing that kept coming to me was Jesus. I've got to tell you a little bit more about Jesus today. But more importantly, the title of the message or the subject matter that's at hand is Jesus, Please Make Me More Like You. Jesus, Please Make Me More Like You. That's what finally came to me. If our Sunday school teacher won't mind, I wrote down a few quotes this morning from him. You don't mind, do you, Brother Terry? Because I think it's very important that everybody understand the wonderful lesson that we were taught this morning. And it goes right along with what I need to convey for myself as well as anyone else that might be able to benefit from that. The first comment that I wrote down, Brother Terry, was, and I quote, "What happens when we don't take care of our responsibilities?" You remember saying that? That's the way you started out. What happens when we don't take care of the responsibilities that has been given to us? Men, and he wasn't pointing fingers or anything, but this is what he said. Men, don't slack off, but take care of business. He said that. Then there was a couple other things he said. He said, what do you want me to do? He also said, what can I do to make your load lighter, with reference to other people? And then he made a comment, which I thought was very good. It's very simple. He said, we are all needed. Did you remember him saying all those things? If you weren't here because of whatever reason, I wanted you to understand that that's what he told us this morning, at least those five things. And then I came to the conclusion, as we're going to read this passage this morning, Jesus, please make me more like you. In the Titus chapter 2, it says, and I'm going to read the entire chapter, and when I read the entire chapter, what you're going to see is some instructions for five different groups of people. Five groups of people. What happens when we don't take care of our responsibilities? The Scriptures teach us that we have some responsibilities. The five different groups that are laid out in this second chapter of Titus alone are the aged men, the young men, the aged women, the young women, and servants. Now let's read the verses of Scripture, and then we'll look at each role of each individual and how that God wants us to teach them. First of all, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Did you notice that? Of course, immediately we think, well, if Paul wants us to teach on sound doctrine, then you're going to be teaching on Baptist doctrine or Baptist principles. That is encompassing here, but we as the older generation, the younger generation, and servants of God, we need to understand what our role is in preserving sound doctrine. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a good pattern, or a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is in the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say unto you. Verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. And in verses 11 through 15, we're going to find our text and our instructions on what we need to do to go back and cover all five of these categories. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared unto all men," notice the comma, and then he says, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Not only in this present world, but in this present time. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let me go on record as saying that anytime anybody tries to address or a preacher addresses the role of the congregation and people in society, Satan is very angry. He's doing everything he can to keep me from going into this message, and so I beg you to pray for me. Let me also go on record as saying I don't feel much of an authority on this, and this message is more for me than anybody else. And if you can benefit from this, then I want to encourage you to take the instructions that God has laid upon my heart today for each category of these. But you say, Brother Spurgeon, there's no young people here. There's no young men. There's no young women. That still does not give us an excuse to shirk the responsibilities and the roles that need to be taught and that need to be preached on from this pulpit. As we said today, as we get ready to go into this message, He put in there, and when He says that we are a people that are zealous, did you notice that? Zealous of good works. What does that mean? What does it mean to be zealous of good works? We all know that it says in the book of Ephesians that we are saved by a grace through faith, that not of ourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? And so I'm not going to boast on these things, but we as God's people need to be zealous of good works. And the one thing that makes us zealous of good works is we got to understand what our role is in the good work for the Lord. The word zealous here comes, and it means when we look at this, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And to be zealous in doing that, we notice that it means to, we need to purify. In other words, we need to make clean. Make clean what? A people who are eager. That's what the word zealous means. Eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds, which means good works. That's what that means. Are we being eager and are we being enthusiastic about living a good life? And you know what? What did Paul is trying to tell us? If I summed all of this up, this is what it would be. Living right. We live in a society in a day when people just say, live any way that feels right to you. I'm going to take the Scriptures today and try to convey to every one of us that there is a proper biblical way of living right. And I feel that I fall way short in that. And what God has laid upon my heart is, Jesus, please make me more like You. Because if we are made more like Jesus, what we will end up being is we'll clean up our lives, we'll clean up our acts, we'll be a people that's eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good. Don't you have a good life? I've got a good life. I'm living the good life. A lot of people go around bragging about that. I'm living the good life. I'll tell you, I'm not bragging about it today. What I'm telling you is that from my honest heart today, God has allowed me to live the good life. You know why? Because Jesus lives within my heart. I didn't finish Ephesians chapter 2 a moment ago, and God says you need to go back over there and finish the rest of that verse of Scripture. And so I want to do that before we go any further today and get into these roles. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verses 8, 9, and 10. But then you know what he says in verse 10? It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and the good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, I want to eagerly, enthusiastically enter into that part of my ministry. I want to enter into that part of my life. And I want to encourage you, and many of you, you've lived a good life and you've been wonderful examples. And I want to commend you for that. But I also want to remind us that we as the people of God, and that are a zealous people, a peculiar people, we need to understand where our
our peculiarity comes from, and that is the fact that the Bible teaches each one of us and the ages that we live in who we are and what we are and how we should live. First of all, let's look at this. In verse 1, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Do you know what that verse, when you break it down and what it's telling us is? It is teach what is fitting and becoming to sound, wholesome, or healthy doctrine. You see, there's a lot of doctrine in the world. And a lot of the things that teach us in the world may be wholesome, may be healthy, to get through a day in life. And if we don't feel good, we'll go to the doctor. Why? Because we want to be wholesome. We want to be healthy, right? But we got this ache, and we got this pain. And so what we'll do is we'll do everything we can to ensure that our body feels good. But many times what we neglect is a spiritual tune-up. Would you like a spiritual tune-up? I want a spiritual tune-up. If this don't apply to anybody else, it applies to me. Have you ever gotten into a funk? You say, "Brother Spurgeon, now you're starting to meddle." No, I'm being honest with you. We live in a world where people are going around and they've got a funk about them. What do you mean a funk? I'm talking about people that are going around and they're not eager, they're not enthusiastic. And I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me. Well, we got a cloud hanging all over us. And Lord, when He fills in the gap, I don't understand why He fills them in with what He fills them in with, but I just go with it, and you know that. And that's, when you call me, that's just the way it is. But you know what we have? We've got a lot of lionesses walking around. Now you're saying, "Brother Spurgeon, I don't have a clue what you're talking about." Oh, I think you do. Who's lioness? Linus and Peanuts, he goes around, he's got his security blanket, doesn't he? A lot of us, we got a security blanket, but we really don't know what a security blanket is. And if you've ever watched the Peanuts character, and you've seen that on there, Linus is always walking around, and he's always got this funk about him. Yep, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Got this cloud that seems to be hanging over him all the time. A lot of times we look at Charlie Brown and we think to ourselves, "Well, I don't want to be like Charlie Brown because everybody's always picking on Charlie Brown." Brothers and sisters, we as God's people, we might feel like Linus, we might feel like Charlie Brown, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's time to quit thinking about those things and concentrate on what God's role is for each and every one of us. Maybe it's time to let Mama put the security blanket in the washer and clean it up. You see, I don't think it's Linus that's really stinking. But you take somebody that won't give up their security blanket to even clean it up and wash it, there's going to be this aroma that's going to get everybody's attention before you get everybody's attention. You know what I'm talking about? You'll smell it before you see it. And before you know it, you're right in the middle of what the world is teaching us on how we ought to live. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this tells us how we ought to live. Paul is instructing Titus on taking a church that's just starting out. We've been doing this around here for 60-something years. We ought to be able to at least get something right about this. Your pastor should be held to standards that's higher. And you should expect no less. And so therefore, it's almost as if I'm making a transition from the young man and into the aged men. And what it really means is just older in age. Young men are younger in age. Older women are older in age. And younger women are younger in age. But then you say, "Brother Spurgeon, should we just alleviate or not worry about what it talks about
when it comes to those that are servants, this is talking about bond servants. You know how you became a bond servant? Somebody had to purchase you. Or you were indebted to somebody and you couldn't pay the debt, so you worked for that master. And if God will allow me, it's still applicable to each and every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God. We are indebted to the master. We are indebted to Him. And so there are some things there that we need to consider as we go into this message. The doctrine that it's talking about is the character and right living that identify true Christians. What I want to talk to us a little bit about today is our role in the family of God. What is our role in the family of God? Where are you in the category of these that He's addressing today? And although I am not prepared to go into every detail, I think it's important wherever you consider yourself in this role that you take a good hard look at this. A few weeks ago, I read these verses of Scripture, and for whatever reason, I need to go and reflect on it for just a moment before we go any further into this service. Before I go into the role of each one of us and look at them, and then when I go and utilize the words that are used there, I want you to focus on those words. And as you focus on them words at whatever age you're at, I want you to compare yourself to what the Scripture says. Not what I say, but what the Scripture says. And then you have to give an account to God. I have to give an account to God. How many of you recognize the first sermon that Peter really grew up? The Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter was so much like you and I are. To the point when he got saved and he got called to follow Jesus Christ, he made the comment, he says, "I'll go with you anywhere, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll do everything because I have taken up my cross and I'm going to follow you and I'm going to do everything, and if somebody tries to hurt you, I'm going to stand up, I'm even going to take out my sword, I'm going to cut off somebody's ear." And before he could even get through, Jesus said, "Satan's going to sift you. You're going to deny me. Not once, but three times." This is how serious this is. Peter fell right into the trap that you and I fall into every day. Okay, you say, "I haven't fallen into it yet." Maybe you say, "You're talking about yourself today, preacher. You're the one that falls into the trap. You're the one that can't control your tongue. You're the one that can't control your eyes. You're the one that can't do this. You're the one that can't do that." I'll tell you, Satan reminds me of that every moment of my life. And he'll do the same for you, just like he did Peter. But then after the Lord was crucified, after he was buried, after he was risen again, it seems like Peter's attention span would have been captured to the point where, okay, it's time to get busy and do what you want me to do. But then there was one final test. I don't know when my final test will be. I don't know when your final test will be. But as the pastor of this church and being responsible for this message, I want you to understand what we're being graded against. After the Lord rose, it seemed like Peter would have repented and got where he needed to be. But you know what he said? And he does like so many of us. He says, "I'm going fishing for fish this time. Even though Jesus said, I want to make you a fisher of men, he said, I'm going to be a fisher. And so he grabs his buddies together and they go out, and a few of them, you know what they'll do? They'll say, well, Peter's a good old guy. He's a good fella. He's a good old boy. I'm going to go fishing with him. And they did. They fished all night. They fished all night in the darkness, and they didn't catch a thing. And they got to the point where, the sun's coming up, and I guess we'll go back to shore. And before they did, Jesus was already there on the shore. I guess I better go over there and read that, because I didn't prepare for this part. I haven't even got into the parts I prepared for yet, too much. But you know what happened? Jesus said, children, have you any meat? They answered and said, no. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the boat, and you shall find. How many of us think we know better than the Lord, and we just keep passing up? We keep putting our net on the left side. You know why we do that? We've got experience. I'm an experienced fisherman, and you're telling me what to do? How many of us are going to say, okay, we keep casting on the left side, maybe you even cast on the right side through the night, and you still didn't get any fish? You went to the front of the boat, you went to the back of the boat, you went to the right side, you went to the left side, you tried every side. You've tried every side that you know, because experience says this is how that you catch fish. And you've done it all night. What's the use? I think sometimes that's what people think. We get too big for our britches and we say, well, you know, I know what my responsibility is. I know what my role is. I don't need some slick-haired preacher to get up there and tell me what my role is, because I already know how to do it. Okay? I know you know how to do it. But Jesus said, put it on the right side. They cast therefore. Now there were now draws. It says they drew it for the multitude. They couldn't even bring it up because there were so many fish in it. Therefore that disciple that Jesus loved, that was John, he said, it is the Lord. I believe it is very important that you understand what your role is, and that your role is not coming from your pastor, it's coming from the Lord. He says, you put it on the right side. John recognized it. And Simon Peter, when he heard it was the Lord, he'll do what so many of us do. He'll grab your coat. And he was naked. And he did cast himself into the sea. The other disciple came in a little ship. They were not too far to the land, but they were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon as they come to the land, they saw the fire and the coals there, and the fish laid on, and the bread. And Jesus said to them, well, bring me those fish you caught now. Bring me those fish you caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net, and there was 153 fish in there, so much so, and yet the net wasn't even broken. But you know what Jesus said? He said, I know you got those 153 fish in there. I know you've been fishing all night. I know you've been trying to do everything you can to hold on to this good sound doctrine. I know you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, and it seems like when you keep casting the net on this side, we cast it on that side, and it seems like that we're not growing in sound doctrine. Maybe it's because we just don't know what we're supposed to do, or maybe we know what we're supposed to do, but we're still trying to do it our way. Maybe we need to listen to what Jesus said. Because you know what? In reality,
He didn't eat the 153 fish. He didn't eat any bread because he told him to come and die. I've already got the fish. I've already got the bread. I've got everything. I've left everything in order for each and every one of us to know exactly what each and every one of our responsibilities and our roles is. And Peter, you still just don't have it yet. But then he sees the fish on the fire, and none of the disciples said, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus asked Peter three times. You know what he asked him? He says, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked him three times. He said, "What's the relevance of this? What's the relevance of even bringing this in?" The relevance is, as I was mowing yesterday, God began to deal with me about Peter and how that he finally accepted the role that God had called on him to do. What is your role God has called upon you to do? Peter told him he loved him three times. Jesus three times said, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." So then, on the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up, and for the first time, he seemingly is accepting the role that God called upon him to do. He stands before all these people, and there's at least 3,000 people there. And he's standing right there before all the people, and he's standing up, and he's doing exactly what God had called for him to do, and he stands up before the people, and with the 11, he lifted up his voice. He said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be ye known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these men are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. And he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That means to publicly expound. "The young and the old alike, who know what their role is. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show you wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, of beneath and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. It says the sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Peter gets up, he's preaching from the book of Joel. He's telling the people about how the young people, the old people, all of us, whether we're servants of God or not, but we will all be able to publicly expound. And there's one thing that we should be able to publicly expound, and that is, what is my role as a servant of God? What is my role? And brothers and sisters, if we want to be more like Jesus, we need to understand what our role is. Because Peter said, "Ye men of Israel, hear ye these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be holden of it." I'll tell you, if we're going to live to be more like Jesus Christ, we have to be willing to crucify the flesh in this world that we live in. That's what Paul said. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? And a few things that he said that we need to do. And I'm going to give each one of you the list that's contained in Titus chapter 2. I'm going to start with the aged men. The aged men. If God, and what I'll do is I'll come back if God will let me, and I will tell you what each one of these rows really mean. Did you know what He told the aged men? Did you know what He said to teach us? That's what He said. He said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." He's coming back. Jesus is coming soon. The next time He comes, what will He find on this earth? Will He still find people that know what their godly roles and the sound doctrine that was taught to us and has been brought to us, and I believe it was really prevalent in our homes as children being brought up in our homes, and it was mostly of godly mothers and godly women that instilled those things to us. And I wish that the preachers of my young days would have taught these things, and most likely they did. But you know what the problem was? It was in my thick head, not listening and wanting to do my own thing instead of the things that God taught each and every one of us to do. Those aged men, they were doing those things in that day. You know what they were doing? First of all, as aged men, the sound doctrine of aged men is to be sober. Did you notice that? There's six of these. There's six right there. And I've identified all six of them. And then when you get into the aged women, you say, well, the aged women, their responsibility is to teach the young women. And they work together. And I'll show you how they come together if you'll just listen for just a few moments of time. And I will try to close this. First of all, He said to be sober. As aged men, the sound doctrine of us aged men, number one, is to be sober. Number two, to be grave. G-R-A-V-E. Number three, He said to be temperate. And then He said the fourth thing is sound in faith. Did you notice that? The fifth thing that we as the aged men of this world that we live in, this present world that we live in, are to be sound in charity. The sixth thing, sound in patience. Now, a lot of these words, we don't understand what the root meaning of them is. So what you need to do, what I need to do, is to dig them out. Uncover what these words really mean. You say, for Brother Spurgeon, he was directing a people of society that was hundreds or thousands of years ago. Do they really apply today? Absolutely. Aged women. I'm going to very quickly go through this, and then I guess I'll just close, and if God wants me to bring it back up and what each one of these means, then I will. First of all, aged women. There's a key word for the sound doctrine that you need to understand. The key word is likewise. Did you notice that? Likewise. Number one, behavior as becometh holiness. That's the aged women's responsibility. The second responsibility and the role of the aged women is not false accusers. Number three, you say, well, I don't have a problem with this. Well, if you do have a problem with this, you need to take it up the word of the Lord, because He said the third thing is not given to much wine. Number four, aged women are to be teachers of good things. Did you know that's what He said? Why did He say it? Well, we'll look at that. And then, the aged women, the fifth thing that Paul tells us is, not only do you need to focus on that, but then you need to take the young women and teach the young women to be sober. Number six, you aged women are to take the younger women and teach the young age women to love their husbands. Number 7. He said to love your children. Number 8. To be discreet. It seems to me like there's quite a bit of responsibility of this sound doctrine that really falls on the aged women. Because the 9th thing that he said is that you're to teach the younger women to be chaste. Number 10. This is where you're going to start ruffling a lot of feathers of a lot of people in society today, because I'm not telling you this is what my opinion is. This is what the Bible says. And the Bible says the 10th thing that the aged women are teach the younger women is to be keepers at home. That's what the Bible says. Did you know there's 2 more? There's only 6 for the aged men, but there's 12 for the aged women. The 11th one is one word. You know what it is? Good. That's it. There's a comma. It says good. Comma. And then the last thing is, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Be obedient to husbands. Why? Why are all these things so important? These 12 things. Because he sums it up by saying that the Word of God be not blasphemed. So you say, well, since I'm a younger lady, this is what the older ladies are teaching, so what's my role? It's the role of the youngers to understand and learn what the older ones are teaching you. There's 8 of them. Did you know that? First one was, be sober. Number 2, love your husbands. Number 3, love their children. Number 4, learn to be discreet. Number 5, learn to be chaste. Number 6, keepers at home. Number 7, good. Number 8, obedient to husbands that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, what are our roles? What are the roles of the young men? What should the older men be teaching the younger men? Number 1, be sober-minded. Number 2, make sure that all things are a pattern of good works. That's what the young men should be focusing on. Number 3, in doctrine, or this doctrine, or this sound doctrine that Paul is saying, but speak out the things which become sound doctrine, in doctrine, show uncorruptness. Number 4, gravity. Number 5, he said, sincerity. Number 6, sound speech that can't be condemned. And the young men, there's one more. There's 7 for the young men. And us as older ones, we should set a goal for life so that the opponent or opponents against Christianity may be put to shame, finding nothing, absolutely nothing, discrediting or evil to say about us. That's a hard thing to do. But as young men, you need to start working on that immediately. And then the servants. The servants, the roles, he said, for each and every one of us. The bond slaves that were bought with the precious blood of Christ. So this applies to each and every one of us. Number 1, be obedient to our master. Number 2, seek to please in all things. Seek to please who? The master. Number 3, not answering again. You say, what's that mean? Well, I think Peter gives us a pretty good example of what that means. Number four, he said, not purloining. What does that mean? Scriptures, what does it tell us? And then there's the fifth one. Show good fidelity so we may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, from all things. So I bring you back to the subject title. Jesus, please make me more like you. In order for me to be more like Jesus, I need to understand what my role is in this. If you want to understand what your role is, find your section in Titus chapter 2. Review that before you come back. Study on these things. And may the Lord give us better understanding as to what He wants our roles to be. In verse 15, He said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I can start telling you and going into what each one of those roles means, what the scriptural definition of these, and expound upon those, but that would take quite a while to do that. I'm not prepared to do all that today. I do have the aged men and how what these words mean. For example, the word sober means to be vigilant. It means to be watchful of all these godly teachings. So as we leave here as aged men, it's our responsibility to ensure that each one of these roles are maintained in the house of God. You know what Paul told Timothy? And I'll close with this. I didn't think about it until right now. It may take me a minute to find it. But I think it's very important that we read this verse of Scripture in closing today. If I can find it real quick. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul teaching the young preacher Timothy, he said, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto you shortly. Remember what Paul said to Titus? This present world, what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, we're in the last days. If you don't think we're in the last days, brothers and sisters, we've got a rude awakening waiting for us because we are in the last days. We're in a present world that is fastly declining. And I'm not talking about declining in economics. Oh, it seems like things are going great, you see. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, let's be realistic. We may be growing in economics and in prosperity, but all the economic prosperity means absolutely nothing if we don't understand what godly roles are for each and every one of us. Because Paul went on to say, that if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to oddest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. That sums up what the Lord wants me to convey today. If there's anything that I guess I really need to convey to you, is oftentimes you need to be careful what you ask the Lord, because He'll give you exactly what you want, even though you may not really want what He wants you to have. So when I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach? Everything that kept coming to me was Jesus. You just preach Jesus. And the way that He wanted me to convey Jesus and how I could be more like Him is I've got to understand what my role is. The first thing He said for an aged man is to be sober, to be watchful, to be vigilant, to be careful, to maintain the sound doctrines that were handed down to us. I, brothers and sisters, will admit to you today that I need to work more diligently, more enthusiastically on maintaining these. And so I ask you to pray for me. If it's God's will, next week we'll bring up and try to close with the remainder of what these things mean. Sure, it says to be sober, but what does that really mean? It means to be vigilant, it means to be watchful. So what does grave mean? What does that word really mean? What does it tell us? What does it, me as an aged member of this church, what does it mean to be grave? If you want to know what that is, tune in next week, if God lets me come back. If not, you know what those roles are. It's a responsibility of each and every one of us to find out how that role applies to each one of our lives. Thank you for listening today. Brother Jimmy, you have a song? Does anybody have a testimony or a word, encouragement? Anybody enthused about this? Thank you, Joseph.
Church.